Good morning, church. How are y'all doing today? So attentive. I love it. Just a hush across. Let's turn our attention to the Lord this morning. Go ahead and stand up with me. He deserves all of our attention, and he is the source of all the good things. All the good and perfect gifts come from above. And so I'm just thankful this morning to be able to worship the Lord, to give him all of my attention. I was talking with someone this week, and I said how one of the enemy's greatest tools is distraction. And he'll grab our attention and put it on the problem. He'll grab our attention and put it on how hungry we are in a moment. He'll grab our attention and put it on a stressful situation. And it's just constant. Or just he'll grab our attention and put it on, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, I just need to watch this movie and not think. That's not a bad thing necessarily, but if he can get our attention off, then we don't hear. And God is always speaking, church. He is always speaking to you. He is always working for your good. He is always seeking to pour out his wisdom to us. So this morning, let's turn our attention and our ear toward heaven and seek him this morning.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to do a call to worship out of Psalm chapter 9. It says this. It says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. And this morning I just began to think, what does that look like? What does it look like praising with my whole heart? And it may look different for me than it looks for you, but I'm encouraging you this morning, let's praise him with your whole heart. Not your mind, not your thoughts, not just your words, but with our whole heart this morning. I will tell of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So, Lord, we just come before you today. We gather as a church body, Lord, but we gather in your presence, Lord. When two or more are gathered, you're here with us. And so, Lord, we just invite you in. Have your way in this place, Lord. We seek you today with our whole hearts. We worship you with our whole hearts. Not just our minds or our words or our thoughts, but with all of who we are, Lord. We give you all the honor and the praise and the glory. We worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Church, we're going to do something today. We're going to do something different. What we're going to do is I'm going to call you to come down here if you are in a situation. If you are in a situation and you need prayer. If your family is struggling with something that is just big, all right, this is big, and it's something that's beyond you. You can't do it by yourself. I want you to come down, and I want you to tuck in tight right here, because the rest of us, we are going to press in, and we're going to surround these people, and we're going to pray with them. We are a community of people. You are not alone. Guys, have you ever been in the middle of a situation that just felt like it was so big? It was so big. And you're praying and you're seeking and you're doing all the right things. And nothing seems to be moving. Get into your community. Call upon your community of believers to come alongside you, to pray with you and for you. It doesn't work alone. It doesn't work alone. The entire new covenant is given within the context of community. The church was born, and we cannot thrive outside of it. Imperfect it is, indeed, but we have a perfect head, and it is Jesus. So right now, if that is you, if you are a family or a person, and there is something heavy, and it's big, I want you to come up. If you're the leader of an organization and you are struggling with finances, you're struggling with decision making, I want you to come up. And just so you know, I will be standing here. I'm going to be doing the praying, but I would place myself here. Come. You need strength. You need help. You need partnership. If you're thinking, God, where are you? What the heck is going on here? I need direction. Come. Yes. This is Breakthrough Church. This is church. We're the church. We're the church. Kara, come behind. Don't spread out too far. Yeah, do like a semicircle, because we're going to come and we're just going to press in around you. Is there anybody else? Come. Yeah. There's going to be breakthrough. There's going to be breakthrough this morning. When we're done praying, we're going to take communion together, church. We're going to take communion. No, you can leave them. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Church, do you know what a privilege it is to surround people when they're struggling? Do you know that right now, this morning, we are going to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? There's not a single one of us who wouldn't have had a time when we'd be up here. Every one of us. Because it's a journey and it's a walk, and we have all spent time in the valley crying out. Is there anyone else? All right, church, let's do it. Get out of your seats and come around as close as you can, as much as you can. Thank you, Jesus. And I just want you to begin to pray. You all know how to pray. Pray. Let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard by the people behind you, the people in front of you. Just pray. Just pray. Out loud. Just pray. Pray for these people. There are people. God in heaven, Father, we thank you, God. Church, I feel the Lord would say that I am the all-sufficient one. Church of Erie, you are loved. You are loved. You are loved. Love is your foundation. Love is on the left and love is on the right. There is space here for you. Walk in my love, says the Lord. I will not reject you. I will not reject you, and I do not condemn you, says the Lord. Walk in my love. Trust in my love. Go all in. Go all in. Says the Lord, go all in on my love, says the Lord. For I do not disappoint. And I am not afraid, says the Lord. I have no fear, and there is no fear in me, says the Lord. So cast off your fear. Cast off your fear, says the Lord, in the name of Jesus. I also have a sense of a call to radical obedience, my friends. Radical obedience. Because you know, out of love comes obedience. Love comes first. The Bible says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, then nothing will be off the table. You'll do it. If you knew how trustworthy I was, you wouldn't hesitate to do it, says the Lord. But I'm okay. It takes time. The Lord is patient. He is patient and long-suffering. There is space, but he's always drawing us to him. Trust me, says the Lord. I love you. You think that letting go of this thing, of stepping out in obedience, is going to wreck you, but it is going to save you. It is going to save you. Trust in me, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
As keep your eyes closed as we're praying, Lord. But the moment I was behind you guys, I started saying the word breakthrough. Pastor Liz started saying the word breakthrough at the same time. And I had this sense of a spring where just a little bit of water was coming out. And you were barely... Those who came up here, you were trying to drink from it and you could barely get enough to drink and you felt thirsty. And the moment you were surrounded, the moment we began to intercede on your behalf, breakthrough began to happen. Breakthrough began to happen. And that spring that was just flowing with a little bit of water began to break free with a flood of living water from heaven. Filling us, washing us. Paving the path for us. Thank you, Lord, for breakthrough today.
I feel as though the Lord is saying, some of you question whether or not you're worthy. You've been walking with Jesus your whole life, and yet the question of worthy has not yet been settled in your heart. And the Lord would say, just take one, just trust me. Take a step into my trust or into my love. I am trustworthy, and you are worthy because I call you worthy.
That's right.
I call you worthy. Your value has been set by God, and it cannot be diminished. You are worthy. You are worthy. I feel as though there is others who are angry. You're angry because things have not gone the way you wanted them to go. You needed them to go. You prayed that they would go. Gosh, we all have things to be angry about. But what I know that you need to hear this morning is that anger is from God. That emotion is a gift to you to help you process things that are not right. Disappointment is not a sin, and anger is not a sin. Be angry. But be angry with God, not with God. Don't be angry with God, although we all have been. Talk to him about it. Yeah. Tell him, admit it, be honest with him. And again, it goes back to trust in his love. Tell him you're mad. Tell him you're angry. Tell him you're frustrated. This isn't what I signed up for. What the heck is going on here, Lord? Have the conversation with him, and he will answer you. He will lead you. He'll bring understanding. And you will begin to see what he's doing. He will gift you with understanding from heaven. Be angry. Let it go. Let it out. Do it with God. Worthy, church. We are worthy because of the blood of Jesus. We're going to take communion together. It's the blood of Jesus. It's his body broken. It is the blood of Jesus, church. It is his body broken. This morning, when you take the cup, it is the blood of Jesus. It is his body broken. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's not like his body broken. It's not like the blood of Jesus. It is the blood of Jesus this morning as you take it. As you take it, as we take it this morning, we are going to tell you, we're going to say it together. This is the blood of Jesus. This is his body broken. And church, we will be healed. We will be a body of believers who walk fully in the love of God. We are a body of believers who will walk in grace multiplied and expressed. We will be a body of believers that walks in faith and that rests in the love of God. And we will walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, this is who we are. This is who we are. Have you ever thought about yourself and you're like, I didn't sign up to be this person. God signed you up. This is who we are. This is who we are. Sometimes I wish I was a happier person. Like I was just like a more bubbly person. But that's not... I didn't sign up for it. That's who he decided. This is who you're going to be. This is what you're going to carry. This is the anointing you're going to carry. Church, this is who we are.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Anything else?
Good.
All right. While you're up here, get your communion elements and then take them back to your seat, church. And we're going to take communion this morning. As you're doing that, I want to thank you, church, for coming up here.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for coming to the altar. I want to thank you for being the church this morning. We will walk as a people who have unity in Jesus, not perfection. I give you permission if you needed it. You don't have to be perfect to be loved. Not here. I wouldn't qualify. Jason definitely wouldn't qualify. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Church, let's just begin to worship him. Just worship him. Open up your mouth and speak praises to God. Hallelujah. God, we worship you. You are worthy. You are worthy, worthy Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are holy and good. God, we love you. Father, we love you. We love you. We magnify the name of Jesus in this place. We lift him up above all things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you and praise you for your church. Father, I thank you for breakthrough. Father, I'm expecting you to move upon what you did here today. Father, I look forward with expectancy at the testimonies of the saints. Father, I look forward with expectancy because you are the only one who can do what you do. You are the only one who can make good on your word. Father, and as we stand in your presence, we place our trust in you, God. We place our trust in you, God. We place our trust in you, God. And we ask, Father, that you would move with power in our lives, God. Where we need to repent, Father, lead us into repentance by opening our eyes to see sin for what it is. Give us that revelation of your love, God, that we may be richly loved, extravagantly loved, and in that love be made whole. And from that love, walk in radical obedience. God, your ways are good. Your ways are good, and they lead us to life and to effectiveness in the kingdom, God. Lead us, Father. And let it be done this morning and now in the name of Jesus, we pray.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your body and your blood.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Given for us. To take what was broken in us and make it whole, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. Your body, your blood. Bible says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. We had given thanks, he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us partake. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His blood shed for us. Thank you, Lord.
Church, we're going to continue to worship the Lord. If you want to come up and pray, cry, weep, worship, always do your business with God. Always. Whether I come up here and help encourage you to do it or not, always do your business with the Lord. Don't ever let anything stop you from doing business with God. This is church. We're the church. So as we continue to worship, if you want to come up and do more business with the Lord, do it. Don't let anything keep you from doing it. Let's worship. church, God is moving. God is working this morning. He's always working. When we don't see it, he's working. When we don't feel it, he's working. When we're suffering, he's working. When we're on the mountaintop, he's working. Pastor Andy was feeling during that song that pour it out, pour it out, pour it out. And he came up to us and he said, you know, God is always pouring out his spirit, always pouring out his spirit. But the call is for us to release. Continually pour out your heart to the Lord. You will not do that if you're not convinced that he wants you. You won't do it if you're not convinced that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that he wants you and that you can trust him. You won't do it if you think his wanting you, loving you, has to do with how you perform that day. Did I read my Bible that day? Well, I'm trying to read my Bible more. I'm trying not to yell at my kids. None of that has anything to do with it. None of it has anything to do with it. Pour your heart out to the Lord. Pour it out to him. And take your hands. That's the only way to get it out of your hands and into his capable, loving hands. But Andy said he's always pouring out his spirit. And as we pour out ourselves to him, it makes room to receive his spirit. To receive in the spirit is perfect love. Your spirit is perfect and perfectly able to receive. But we need to pour out our heart. We need to make room for him. And we need to lay down every lie. What's taking up space? Every lie, every doubt. Church, as you go from here today, when accusation comes, when the father of lies comes and begins to tell you God doesn't love you, Pastor Liz said, no, don't do that. It is written. But if you don't know what's written, then heck, Pastor Liz said he loves me. If that's where you need to start, if you can start, do you know where I started? I started by trusting that he loved me and it helped heal things in me so that I could trust that God loves me. Do you know who else helped me to really get rooted and grounded in God's love? This guy. If this guy loves you, oh my gosh, like he loves you and he doesn't require anything in return. This guy's a little bit more. As it should be.
A little more high maintenance.
As it should be. A covenant is a covenant. There's some. But love is free. Yeah. So pour it out. But every lie, every doubt has to be laid down in the name of Jesus. I have two more things. That song, this song set today, man, it was put together for you. That's right. It was put together for you. And it's all about salvation. It's all about salvation. But this song, when it's break down the walls of all my religion. Religion is our attempts to save ourselves.
Right.
And if you think you don't do that, you're wrong. We all do. It's a constant. Am I self-protecting? Am I self-saving? Am I covering? Am I trying to coat myself by being uber responsible? Am I being pious? You know, for piety's sake. And it's just no one can do that reflection but you and Jesus. So pour it out. Let him in. Trust in his love. And he will break down the walls of the religion that keeps you shackled. Break down the walls of your traditions. The traditions that I think of like Christmas, our Christmas traditions. But traditions is how do you traditionally respond when someone is cut you off in traffic. If you'd like that to change, then you need to get with God. If you're triggered, I think of triggers. If you're triggered by something, get with God. Make a plan. God, how do I get over this? I think of a pastor once. He's a godly man, but he really struggled on the basketball court. He couldn't keep the godlike character together when he was balling, okay? And he would be so disappointed in himself at what would come out of his mouth. I mean, he was a pastor, but oh. And so he got with God. He's like, this has got to go in the name of Jesus. It's got to go. And he started playing ball like 4 times a week on purpose. He started playing ball with the most rough players, the ones that made him angry, the ones who would foul you and say they didn't, the ones who triggered him, and he did it over and over and over again until he got a handle on it. He did it with God. He did it on purpose. Okay, the last thing.
Andy has something too.
You do? You have something?
How many of you guys have secret sins? Okay. Every hand up? Anybody? Okay.
And secret from
Pastor Liz talked about just a little bit ago when everybody was up here, sin as well. If you're dealing with something that you can't overcome, the pouring out of your heart, we need to pour that out to God too. There's moments in my life where it's like, God, I cannot overcome this. I don't know what to do. Help me. And I would just pour my heart out to God. Say, God, I don't want this sin in my life. Get it out of me. I know it's wrong. Get it out of me. I'll do whatever you say. You just pour your heart out. Whatever you're dealing with, pour it out to him. He's not afraid of it. Amen. And you can trust him, okay? Amen. He hears your cries. He hears your plea. He hears your heart's desire to flee sin and follow him. And he will make a way out because he promises to do that. So in pouring out your heart, pour out everything, not every single thing you can, to be pure and holy before him. One of my prayers that I pray is, that I've read in the Proverbs is, Father, remove falsehood and lies far from me. That includes your sin, okay? So pour it out, everything you can. And we are going to be a church. I'm doing this. We're all doing this. We are a church that pours our heart out to God. Amen? Amen.
Last thing is, there was a couple weeks ago, or not a couple weeks ago, we were at a One Focus Network conference, and we were in discussions on the way home. We drive together as a team as much as we can. When we go, it's like a long drive, I don't know, 10 hours or something, long drive to be in the car with Sid and Andy in the back discussing the merits of different things. It's fun. And we had talked about, I don't know how many years ago this was, we had talked about changing some of the lyrics from I to we. Because we live in America, it's all about the I, in good ways and in bad ways, okay? The church is we. And this guy was not in the car. But I found it when he, did you hear him do that?
Yeah.
He changed it to we. And that was so powerful. And the Lord took me right back to that. We, church, what we did together and what we are going to be moving forward is a we. We are the church. We are the church. And as a church, we will continually pour out our hearts to the Lord. We will continually seek to be pure and holy before him. But we will not seek to do it through self-righteous ways, through religious safeguarding, by hiding ourselves. We will come and say, surround me, church, and carry my burden with me. Bear my burden with me. Intercede for me. And we will have victory in that way.
Guys, why don't you just stand with me? We're going to sing that verse one more time. We're going to use we instead of I. We're going to do we. We're going to sing that, and then we'll close out our time in worship. But worship team's got something for us, too.
Church, let it be said of us. Let it only be said of us that we walk in the fear of the Lord and that we surrender all to Jesus. And let God get the glory for everything. His glory. It's his glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you sure? It's hard to move on. I know Pastor Jason has a message. This morning I asked him what it was. I don't know if you know this, but I usually have no idea what he's preaching on, or I might know the title or the theme, but he doesn't share. Some churches do that. They give the message to the leadership team so that they can have input and help shape it and whatnot. We don't currently do that. I'm not saying we never would, but we don't currently do that. And because we don't do that, it's wonderful to see how the Holy Spirit does this thing, you know, where people participate in the move of God and they don't even know of conversations that were had. So I'll come up and like have a word, or Pastor Andy will have a word, or Elle will have a word, and it'll be right in line with what he's preaching. And it's confirmation to his spirit so that when he comes up to preach, he preaches with more power, with more confidence that it is the Spirit of God that is working through us, in us, through you, in you. So all glory and praise be to God. And I want to hear the word today. I want to hear about ask, seek, knock. This morning, he came and he knocked on the door. And as a church, we opened it. And he came in. And he came in. And we will be changed. We will be changed. Okay. During this, we're going to take a little break so that we can all collect ourselves. You can drop your kids off at nursery or Little's Ministry. If you're a first-time guest, we welcome you. We welcome you. I pray that you met with Jesus and that you leave changed. On the back of the seat, there's a connection card. If this is your first time, you can put your email on that card and put it in the offering buckets during the break. And we'll send you an email that'll connect you in with more information about the church. You can bring your tithes and offerings up to the front during the break. There's two buckets that sit up here. You can do that during the break as well. If you're a kid, we have Kid Corner. That's kids 7 and up. We have fun things for you to do, quiet things for you to do while your ears are listening to the message. So let's take our little break and then come back together. All right, friends. Let's wrap it up. So, you know, the best kind of family get-togethers are when there's really good food. They're where mom is, usually. Mom and dad are usually there, right? And they go on. You know, there's lots of laughing, lots of talking. There's lots of loud. There's always lots of kids running. This is my opinion, right? The best family gatherings have these elements. And they tend to not want them to end. I'm saying that because it's already 11:15. And, you know, we try to end at 11:30, and that's a joke. We never hit 11:30. 11:45, if I'm preaching noon, you know, if Pastor Andy's preaching, like, noon. But this is our one family gathering a week, so noon feels good. If ever you have to skedaddle early, don't feel bad. We're cool. We'll trust that you love us and that you just have somewhere to go. Or maybe your kid is extra hungry, and you say, let's scoot out. Let's go get Chipotle. That's cool. That's life. So don't ever feel like you're trapped in your seat, because you are never trapped here. Never. We love you. We want you. I'm saying that because, Pastor Jason, don't preach short. You prepared. You know, the Lord came and he met us this morning, but don't preach short. All right. And that wasn't an announcement. That was an impromptu announcement. Announcements. Worship and prayer is Wednesday at 6:30. It's from 6:30 to 7:30 on March 6th. We do that on the first Wednesday of every month. It's an open, if you come at 6:50, that's cool. It's not a service. It is a time of worship and prayer. You can come, you can walk around, you can worship and pray and just spend time with the Lord. So I invite you to that. And then my second and last announcement is the service on Sunday, March 17th, is Church Family Business Sunday. So you are encouraged. I think this morning's service is a great precursor to this announcement. We are we, okay? This is a community of believers. And if you choose to be a part of it, it's an important decision in your life. What church you go to is important. We'll tell our kids, look at your friends and I'll show you your future. The people you surround yourself with are the people who are going to you know, you're going to become like them. So we are a church of love and grace and faith. So if this is your home church, make it a point to come on March 17th. We're going to have worship. I mean, it's a regular service. We're going to have worship. Pastor Jason and I are going to share on some church family business. And then probably with about 15 minutes left in service, we're going to go over, what is it, the financial finances, like the financial overview of last year. We used to do this after church. And we just say, stay after, you know. But we're going to do it during church because it's just full transparency. This is a part of being in a family. My kids want to go on vacation this year. We went on vacation last year. I'm looking at them and go, well, you know, are we not ordering pizza? Like, what? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about how this is going to go down if we really want to do another vacation. So church, family, business, we want you all here. So mark your calendar. Don't sleep in on March 17th.
We had two options for the date, March 10th or March 17th. March 10th is Time Change Sunday, so you're welcome. We're going to do it on the 17th. You know, we're not, I get it. I don't know if it's spring forward or something. I don't know. You get an hour less sleep, so you're going to lose an hour. So we decided not to do it on the 10th. So actually, Pastor Liz, it was, you realize that, so... So there you go. So it's the 17th, so don't forget on the 17th. I have a quick scripture for offering, and then we'll get into the word here. Psalm 37, it says this. It says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Isn't that a great verse for us this morning? For all the things. All the things, not just our finances, but in all ways. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. So it's a commitment on our part, but then we trust in him as we walk that out. And he shall bring it to pass. He is the one who makes the ways to pay the bills. He's the one who gets relationships restored. He is the one who does it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this morning already. I thank you for all that you've done in our hearts and in our lives already, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for breakthrough. Father, I thank you, Lord, for breakthrough. For the people that came up here and just put on the line at the altar, Father God, the things that they were going through. And each and every one of us has that, Lord. I just thank you for that spring blowing forth, Father God, with overflowing of water, Lord Jesus, of your spirit and of your goodness, Lord. And I just pray over our finances. I pray over this message today that you would lead us and guide us, Father God, as you always do. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. And interestingly enough, you know, the Holy Spirit is so good. He, as I was preparing this message, and I've talked with Pastor Andy, sometimes we laugh about it, but, you know, when you prepare a message, it depends on how you prepare. Sometimes you have, like for me, if I have a pretty long message, it's going to be about 6 to 7 just of these little pieces of paper that I have in there, just to help guide me and lead me along. Well, as I was preparing this message, I kept looking down and saying, I've only got 3 pages. Lord, I've only got 3 pages. Like, what is this? And the Lord was just like, it's cool, right there. Don't worry about it. Stick with the 3 pages. And so he knew in advance that it was going to be 11:20 when I got up here. And I'm not going to cut it short any purposeful reason other than I'm going to say what the Lord had to say, what he told me this week to share with you guys, and we're going to go from there. Is that a deal? All right, good. All right, so this week, the title of the message is, Do You Hear What I Hear? That's right. I was waiting for someone to give me a little Christmas music here. Do you hear what I... Is that a Christmas song, right? Yeah, here, ba, ba, ba. You won't want me to sing it. Do you hear what I hear? And interestingly, I would not have been able to title this message in this way probably a decade ago. I would not have been able to title it this way because I was at a point in my spiritual walk where there were things that were blocking my ability to hear from God clearly. And he has walked me on this journey. He's walked us through this journey, our family. We've made some big radical obedience decisions on following the Lord in our lives. And it was because we, as a family, we were able to hear God's voice. And we stood on the scripture that when we ask, he answers. When we seek, we will find. And when we knock, the doors will be open. And we had to really stand on God's word to say, Lord, If you look at John chapter 10, it says the sheep will hear my voice. I think it says it like five times in John chapter 10, just one chapter of the Bible. And so we as sheep, as followers of God, we, and as your leaders, we want you to hear his voice. We want you to be able to pray and hear God's direction and his answer for your particular situation and your particular circumstance. It's one of the most important things we want you guys to know and understand how to do as a church. Because guess what? We can't be available 24/7 all the time for every decision. And on top of that, guess what? The Bible is the Word of God, but it doesn't necessarily speak directly to every single individual circumstance you might. Now, it speaks to it collectively as God will lead us and guide us, but I always use this example. Should I get a dog or not? Show me the scripture that clearly says whether or not you should get a dog. Specifically, Pastor Jason, you should or should not get a dog. Like, there are things in our life that are really specific to us and our circumstance that we need to be able to hear from God and understand what he's saying and be able to walk in it. Matthew chapter 7 says this, starting in verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Sounds like a promise to me. This is Jesus. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is Jesus speaking. These are his words. And remember, he only says and does what he hears the Father say and do. Which means these are words coming from the Father, from heaven. It says this, ask and it will be given to you. Not necessarily in the timing that you want. Right, Crystal? We just talked about that as a testimony. Seek and you will find. It's not seek and maybe you'll find. Seek, you might find. Seek like, well, you know, this or that. It's just no. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is a great verse, I believe, for all of us to stand on. And I just, sometimes, I don't know if you guys know this, but it's good. You can always remind God of his word. You can always remind God of his word. So before you maybe ask a question to him or seek him on something, hey, Lord, as a reminder, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8, these were Jesus' words to me. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For anyone who asks receives, verse 8, and for he who seeks will find, and to him who knocks it will be open to you. And so I like to remind Jesus. I like to remind God, like, hey, God, hey, I got some things going on in my life. How many got some things going on in your life? We got things. And we're actually, Lord, I need some assistance here. I need your way. I need your provision. I need your direction. I need things. I'm human. I've got only so much intellectual capacity. And Pastor Liz said, amen. I'm just kidding. So here's what I saw. I looked at these three, ask, seek, and knock. And I sort of gave him, it's interesting, he says it three different ways. And I just want to relate it to three different things in our lives that we're seeking God on. So the first one was ask. And I say this one is, help me. How many of you have ever prayed the help me prayer? Come on, right, church? Help me. Lord, I'm in this traffic. Lord, help me. Get me through this situation. Lord, you're just asking him for his help. You know, I don't know if you guys remember a couple weeks ago, I shared with you a quick story about a time recently where the Lord told me not to do something. You guys remember this? Oh, yeah. Well, we all remember our failures, right? You know, he told me not to do something. There's something, a situation that was going on, and I did it anyway. And he actually tried to tell me multiple times, don't do that, don't do that, nope. And I had no peace. And I was like, it'll be all right. If you ever, and we all laugh about this, if you ever say, it'll be all right, don't do it. Don't do it. Like if you're thinking about jumping off the high dive or whatever, as a funny example, it'll be all right. No, honestly, if there are situations in your life, and I felt this pause from the Lord. Don't send that email. Don't send it. And this was the email meant something. It was approving something. Don't do it. Don't do it. This person wants it. It's fine. It'll be all right. And I hit the button. The things went into motion. I can't give you all the details because of whatever. You guys understand. But it wasn't to do with the church. And so things went into motion, and then things started to fall apart. And the Lord is so gracious to me. He was like, I love you, Jason. I was trying to tell you not to do that. Do you hear what I hear? And I heard it, and I didn't obey. And we talk about we have to walk in radical obedience to the Lord. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But I didn't. But here was my prayer because of it. Lord, help me. Right? Because we get ourselves in these situations. He's tried to help you before to avoid the situation, but you missed it, and now you're in it. You missed it, and now you're in it. And I was like, Lord, help me. Please. What have I done? Forgive me. I'm sorry. I repent. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm confessing my sin to the church, right? I'm telling everybody from the pulpit. I screwed up. Lord, if I confess my sins, you'll be faithful and just forgive my sins. Thank you, Lord. Right? So I'm just like, Lord, help me. And wouldn't you know, this could have went on and on and on. And the Lord, last Friday, he helped me. And he took that situation and he completely shut it down. Completely closed it down. I am completely past it. Can we give the Lord a hand for that? Yeah. Completely. I mean, this was the prayer. It was the prayer. It was, Lord, help me. So if you are in that type of situation, Lord, help me. We have to stand on that verse. When we ask, it will be given. He'll do it. He'll do it in his timing, in his way. And many a times, he doesn't answer a prayer right away because he's trying to teach you something. Ooh. Many times he doesn't answer your prayer right away and do this miraculous whatever it is in our lives because he wants to show you something. He wants to teach you something. He wants to correct you in something. And if he just went around every time you asked and he just fixed everything in your life, how great would that be? Right? Traffic. Thank you, Julie. I asked for no traffic. Boop. The cars part in front of you. No, there are things that in this world that he will tarry on things because he's looking to teach us something. But that doesn't mean we stop asking. And we can cry out. If you're here this morning and you have a prayer that you were crying out, we've already come up, we've already sort of done that. But you're asking, Lord, help me. You're asking him to move and to help in your life. The second one was this one called seek. Seek. And for me, this word seek means to show me something. Right? If you're searching for something, if you're seeking for something, and the Bible says you're going to find it. So what are you seeking? What are you looking for? And we have to begin to ask ourselves, Lord, what am I looking for? Lord, and maybe the question becomes, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to pour my heart out to you. I want to know you more, Lord. And the question I've been asking myself recently, Lord, why did I act that way? That's part of this prayer right here. Seek and you will find. So I say, Lord, I am seeking you. Why did I react this way? I have a great example of this happened last night. Okay. One of my daughters, Pastor Liz and Grace, were in Pittsburgh. They were at a baby shower. So I am running the show. Okay. I'm running the show at home. I got Eva on down, which means I got how many? Six? I don't know, something. Lila was at ballet. I got kids, and they're mostly young, and they're in the house, and it's like chore day. So we're doing the chores. And I can be a little bit driven when it comes to chores. We've got this great app that we're going. I've got to get this done. I've got to get this done. They're like, I want screen time. Well, you don't get screen time until 3 o'clock, and you only get until your chores are done, your showers are done. And everyone's like happy, though. I'm driving, but they're all like, this is great. This is great. This is so great. We're having a great day. The kids are having a blast. And then one of my daughters comes up to me and says, Dad, I think I want to make cookies. Okay, I didn't ask the Lord or seek him whether it was a yes or a no. However, as you all know, it probably should have been a no now that I'm giving you this story on Sunday from Saturday. But on Saturday, I was like, sure, this is great. Everyone's doing fantastic. I said we'd figure out what was a treat for after dinner. Let's go ahead and make cookies. Well, one of the things you need for cookies is soft butter. Those who bake, I don't bake, but apparently you need soft butter. Do you think we had any soft butter? Of course not. But in my own abilities and knowledge, I decided, I concocted a plan on how to get soft butter. Not using the microwave, reasonable. Not putting it in hot water, also reasonable. I decided to, even though my kids are actually encouraging me to do these other things, I decided to cut the butter up, two sticks of butter, in small slices. Because I Googled it. It said, cut the butter up in small slices. It'll warm up faster. Right? I do this to two things of butter. And then one of my daughters was like, you know what? Maybe we should put it by the fireplace to help it melt a little bit faster. Fantastic idea. I love that idea. That is awesome. It's such a great idea. Such a great idea. And so we put it over there. I cut it up on this plate. Oh, it looks real nice. This butter is going to get real soft to room temperature in no time. We're gathering the other ingredients. And then I hear one of the kids from the kitchen going, the dog's name is Bingley, by the way. Bingley's eating the butter. Bingley's eating the butter. I come running through. I'm like, I'm moving kids out of the way. I go jumping into the family room. I look, the butter's gone. All of the butter is gone. It's all gone. I mean, it was two sticks of butter. It was a lot of butter. It's gone. And interestingly enough, I got mad at the dog. I got angry at the dog. Bigley, I didn't curse, but I was saying words about the dog that shared that I was not happy with the dog. And I was, somebody cried. One of the children. Who was it? Maggie cried at how angry I was at the dog. And, you know, I Google searched it, and, you know, if the dog eats so much butter, they could get very sick. You should maybe take him to the vet. I'm reading these things. I'm like, oh, my Lord. I begin, Lord, show me what to do. Lord, help me in this situation. But later that evening, I said, Lord, why did I act that way towards the dog? And I realized he was showing something to me in my own heart. That I got angry at the dog because I made a mistake. And I got angry that it messed something up and it ruined something, and I made the mistake. It wasn't the dog's fault. Go ahead, put a beautiful spread of butter right in front of a hungry dog in front of the fireplace. What the heck do you think he's going to go do? He's going to eat it. Right? But it's a funny example, but I was asking the Lord. I was like, show me, Lord. Show me the motivation of my heart. Why did I react so harshly to the dog? We were having a good day. And he really began to unveil and show me some things in my own heart that I was struggling with in that moment, even during that day or even the past week or so. But that was the prayer, and he answered it. He answered the prayer. He showed me, even in the circumstance, even in the situation, even when I was angry at the dog, I wanted to get rid of him. I was, you know, I'm not taking him to the vet. I'm taking him somewhere else. Right? I mean, like, so upset. But when we ask and we seek the Lord, he's faithful. His word says he'll show you. But your eyes have to be open to see. My eyes had to be open to see. I could go around be yelling at the dog all day long. But at some point, you got to ask, why am I yelling at the dog? Honestly. And what is the dog in your situation? Is it your job? Is it your life? Your spouse? Is it your what? And the prayer is here, Lord, show me. Show me, what is it? What in my heart needs realigned? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to change in my life? Lord, seek him on it, and the word says he will show you. The last one here is knock. And you think of someone knocking on a door. And really this word here, knock, he's really talking about directing you. Directing you. And you think of open doors. Like when you come up to a door, you knock, and it either opens, and you continue to move forward, or it remains closed, and you're like, well, I guess it's not that door, and you go to door number two. And this whole idea of the Lord, when we're asking him for direction and wisdom regarding a situation, it's really about directing you. Lord, direct me in this. I have a huge decision to make. What should I do in this situation? You're asking, you're seeking him on it, and you actually begin to knock on the door to say, Lord, is this the door? Yes or no? Is this the door? Yes or no? And so how do we know if it's him? We're asking, we're seeking, we're knocking. What do we do? How do we get this? This John 10:10, and the sheep will hear my voice, and the sheep will hear my voice, and the sheep will hear my voice. Well, you have to remove the interference from your life. You have to find ways, no matter, I understand if you're a mom or a single mom, you're at home, you're at kids, those are the most difficult times. But even while, as Pastor listens, while you're doing laundry, while you're in the shower, you have to find times to seek him, to ask him, and to knock, and to say, Lord, help me to remove the interference that's in my life. Because if we are just, I mean, I have the tendency to do it. If you just go, and I'm just going to get up, I'm going to read a quick scripture. I thank you, Lord, for the word for you today, and I'm just going to keep on moving. I'm going to drive. I'm going to listen to the news on the way to work, and then I'm going to go to work all day and have meetings, and at lunch, I'm going to do emails while I'm eating my lunch, and on the way home, I'm going to listen to some more news. And you are never positioning yourself to be able to hear. And the Bible talks about wisdom crying out in the intersections, which means God is trying to answer the things that we are asking him and seeking him for. But if we don't slow down for a second and we don't remove the interferences in our life, we're not going to be able to hear his voice. And I use this little example from our life. I won't get into all the details of it. But when we lived in the mobile home in Girard many years ago, we didn't have cable. We didn't have cable. We had those things called, those of you may know what I'm talking about. Yeah, those are called rabbit ears. Those are things that try to pull in the signal from wherever it's coming from. So for whatever reason, as you all know, I love football. And I love Penn State football in particular. Well, there was a Penn State football game on. I believe they were playing Alabama. And I had interference. I don't know why I had interference on my rabbit ears. Normally it works, but it was not working. And I had interference. And I'll tell you what, I was straining. I did everything in my power. I would hold it up high. I would hold it down low. I would hold it to the left. I'd hold it to the right. I'd get an extension, try to get it closer to the window. I'd try to maybe put it in the fireplace. Maybe I'll find something metal. And I start sticking the things out and touching more metal things. Start going. And the only thing that worked was if I held it at a position which barely allowed me to see the TV. Okay? Here's the TV. It's facing this way. It was right here, in which the interference was gone, right here like this. So I'm like trying, like, can some of the kids do this? If I get a stool, maybe they could hold it in like shifts. Like maybe I could have shift work going on. And the Lord just spoke to me like, we have to do what we need to do, even though it's uncomfortable, to remove the interference to be able to hear his voice. I had to do what was very uncomfortable to see that game. And there are times in our lives where comfort is not the goal. Yeah. That's like my MO. Is it comfortable? Then I like it. If it's uncomfortable, I don't want to do that. But what the Lord is speaking to, we have to remove the interference in our life. And that might be uncomfortable for some of us. But the Lord is challenging us to do that, to get uncomfortable in certain circumstances and situations so that the interference that's going on in the world and all around us can be removed so that we can clearly hear God's voice. Verse 9. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, meaning, hey, look, we're all sinners. And if as a father, my kid asked me for, they asked me for bread, I'm not going to give him a stone. Like, that's pretty rude. Right? I'm not going to do that. But then me being evil, now how to give good gifts to your children? I know how to do this. How much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? So this to me is like, wow, this is an incredible revelation. So I'm going to ask, I'm going to seek, I'm going to knock. And I'm like, my expectation when reading this now and living this out is, Lord, you are going to answer that prayer. Because you love me, because you are a good God. And once we begin to wrap our minds around that, we did that Attributes of God series last year. But we walked through all the different attributes of God. And one of them was God is good. And every good and perfect gift comes from above. And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. All these things about God's goodness, because he is a good father. So when we ask him for something, and we're seeking him for something, and we're knocking, looking for direction for something, the Bible says, and I know in my own life as a testimony, he answers those prayers. Every good and perfect gift is from him. So you say, Pastor Jason, if I'm not sure if I'm hearing God or not. I'm trying to spend time with him. I've got this interference removed. I'm starting to hear these things, but how do I know if what's going on up here is God, is my own mind, or is the enemy? Because how many of you have quite a few thoughts going on up there? Right? There's thoughts happening all the time. You're constantly going. And the first thing we need to be is aware of all the thoughts that are happening in our mind. But here's a couple of things I want to share with you today is how do I know? How do I know if this is from God? So I asked, I seeked, I knocked. He says he'll answer. And then I have this thing like, well, is this the answer? How do I know? Right? We want to be able to know. Well, the first one is does it line up with the Bible? The very first thing, if you are hearing from God and you can't find scriptural backing to that, then you are not hearing from God correctly. It is very clear. You have to be able to, I mean, there's a lot of different examples I can use. I won't use them here, but first and foremost, God cannot lie. He's not a liar. And he doesn't go against his word. If his word is of him and is of God and is Jesus, then he can't go against that word. So he will never tell you to do something that goes against his word. Can we settle that? That's pretty easy. The second one is do you have confirmation? Do you have confirmation? It's interesting. We just met with a couple this morning who were seeking confirmation from their spiritual authority in their life about a major decision they had to go make. Are you doing that? Do you do that in your life? Like, I heard from God, and I think this is the right direction, but what I believe and what the Bible really teaches us is amongst two or three witnesses, and so you have to go and say, Lord, go to somebody and say, Lord, show me. Can I get confirmation from someone in my life that I trust and that I know hears from God? And that's a key thing, that I know hears from God. Because there's a lot of times we can get a lot of yes people around us pretty easily. Be like, you call that friend who's always like super encouraging. I love those friends. Super encouraging, tells you everything you want to hear. You know, that's not me. Yeah, don't call Pastor Liz if that's what you're looking for. Right? And so that's why we make a good team. Call me if that's what you're looking for. I'm that friend. Oh, you're great. You're fine. Everything's going to be awesome. Yeah, don't worry about it. God is good. He is faithful. Come on, let's dance a little bit. Let's sing and worship. Pastor Liz be like, you believe in a lie. And here's the reason why you believe. And you need both, right? You need both, but you need both things. And that's why God put us in leadership together. We have different qualities and attributes. But you have to find someone and call someone, a trusted person, that you can say, Lord, I think this is the direction I'm supposed to go. I think this is what I'm supposed to happen or do. Can I get some confirmation? Can you pray with me about that? Can we get confirmation? And I tell you, these people that we just met with, they asked us for their confirmation. They told us about what it was going to be, and we were in prayer about it. And I believe this morning we had complete confirmation in the Spirit about what they were supposed to go do. And so that's how it's supposed to operate. That's how the church family begins to operate. So does it line up with the word? Do you have confirmation? Do you have peace? Don't send the email, Jason. Don't send the email. Like, he's pressing on me, trying to stop me from doing it. And then the moment I did it, it was like, oh. I have no peace in that. Now, when I say peace, that doesn't mean that everything is easy. I'm talking about an inner peace, this sense of peace on the inside that you know you've heard from God and you're walking in. That doesn't mean it's not difficult. It doesn't mean there might be some anxious moments like, I can't believe like this is the way God is telling me to go do it. And we always encourage people, if God tells you to do something, get the confirmation and then write it down, because you will constantly want to come back to that and be like, I got to read that again. Lord, you told me to do what? And then you read it again. And then you're trying to work this thing out in your life. And you got to go back to it again. Lord, let me read it again. And you have to continually to read it again. But this is where we get this peace from. It's this inner knowing. It's this our spirit to God's spirit. Our spirits are connected with God, and it's a sense of knowing and having this peace regarding a situation. It's like I'll call it just a knowing. And that issue that I had the other, I knew what the Lord wanted me to do, and I disobeyed. I did it differently. And there were consequences to that. And I think we live now in a world where hearing from God is only going to get more and more important. Now, I don't know what November is going to bring. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen over these next couple years or when the Lord's going to return. I don't know, but what I can tell you is that this is probably one of the most important messages other than salvation message of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you need to know how to hear from God. You need to know how to ask, to seek, to knock, to hear from Him, to get an answer, to get a direction, to get confirmation, and to move in peace, even when it seems like everyone else is going the other way. Just because they're going that way doesn't mean that's the way God wants you to go. Then the last one I have is, what is the language? What is the language of what you believe you're hearing from God? And there's some markers. There's three indicators here. And I like to use, you know, the same starting letter in all the words, because it's very nice when you preach to use like matching things. You know, these are fun. So the first one is it convicting or condemning? If you believe that you're hearing the voice of the Lord regarding a situation or a circumstance and you feel convicted, and let me show you what that looks like. Man, wow, that is difficult, Lord. That is true. That's right in my life. I really need to begin to make a change in that area. If that's the sense you're feeling when you're getting that impression from God, when you're seeking Him on a situation, that would be called conviction. Condemning is this. When you believe you heard something from the Lord and what follows it is, I'm a loser, I'm horrible, I'm terrible, I suck, I'm this, I'm that, I'm worthless, I'll never get it, I'm wrong, I'm never going to get there, this is just awful, might as well be done now, forget it, I'm quitting, letter of resignation, blah, 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 blah. You didn't hear from God, because that's not how He speaks. That is not the road He wants you to go down. So when you begin going down that road of condemnation, of beating yourself up, of, you know, whipping yourself with your belt, or, I mean, I don't know, crazy stuff in the Bible they used to do, right? But what I'm saying is that is condemning. That is from the enemy. That is from the enemy. The Bible says there is now for no condemnation for those who are in the Lord. None, zero, zip, zilch. So you got to begin to hear the language when you're praying and when you're seeking. The interference is removed. You're trying to hear from God. Is it convicting or is it condemning? The next one, is it faith or fear-based? Is what you're hearing from God challenging you in your faith? Meaning, and there's a lot of different ways that you can look at this thing, but God, when He speaks to us, He's encouraging us to believe and trust Him even greater deal. Leave GE, whether they pay you or not. Lord? Am I hearing that correctly? I think we've told that story. I was sitting, I think, right where Larry was sitting. I walked back to the back, and Pastor Liz is back where Brandy is, and she's holding the baby, doing exactly what Brandy's doing. If God is speaking to you guys, you should listen and get confirmation during this service, because that's exactly what we were doing. And I went back, and I said, God spoke to me. And she was like, I know. It's like, what? What do you mean you know? We're supposed to leave GE. I love my job. What? Why? We couldn't understand it. But He was encouraging us to have faith in Him to take the next step. And it was a clear word from God. And I got confirmation. And we were back there. And here we are today. Fear, however, on the other hand, would have been like, see, you're not really all that spiritual because you're still working at GE. How much do you really believe in God? How much real faith do you really have? You know what? Something terrible is going to happen to you at GE. You continue to stay there. You continue to stay there, and they're going to drop a locomotive on you. It's going to be horrible. And all these death and destruction and fear and worry. And, well, maybe I'm going to get fired in 2 weeks. I should leave now instead. And you begin, that is not from the Lord. That is fear-based. That is the enemy trying to manipulate and use fear to try to control you or just confuse you. Because the enemy is the one who brings confusion. So you have to listen to the language of it. Is it convicting or condemning? Is it faith or fear? And then this last one here is either, is it concise or complicated? You notice the ones on the right-hand side there are the ones not of him. And the ones on the left, the convicting, the faith, concise. Every time the Lord has spoken to us or to me, to those who I know, it's been pretty concise. Don't send that email. It'll be all right. Don't throw that diaper. Don't throw it. Right? Standing at the top of the steps, about 15 steps down, holding a diaper in the hand. Don't throw it. It'll be all right. Diaper everywhere. That'd be a full soggy diaper from the evening's activities on the baby, okay? Boom. But when God speaks, he speaks in these things. He asks questions. He asks questions to us, and he speaks in these short, concise phrases to us. And even the one we shared the other day about, again, me missing it. That's fantastic. Let's use that again. When the Lord spoke to me before giving Eva the apples. Does Liz feed her apples? It'll be all right. Now my baby's choking. Right? So it's concise. The Lord speaks concisely. It's not confusing. It's not complicated. I mean, yeah, he'll give you a vision and he'll speak to you in a dream and you write those all down and it seems like it's longer. But in the end of the day, it's really not all that complicated. And even the things that he says are concise, they mean so much more usually. But they're not complicated. And then the last thing here, and it's not up on the slide, but as we hear from the Lord, we've already spoken about this today. It's interestingly, as you brought it up, we have to radically obey what he tells us to go do. Write that down in your notes. It's not on the up there. Radically obey what he tells you to do. This is a matter of life and death. It's becoming more and more important. When we ask, when we seek, when we knock, he answers. Grace, come on up here, girl. Verse 12, I'll just finish here with this. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. And I was like, wait a second. Isn't this that thing called the golden rule? Like, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. I was like, why is this coming after? Ask, seek, knock. He's going to answer our prayers. And I realized this, and I know this has a lot of meanings. And I'm not getting into all the law of the prophets and how this individual wording from Jesus satisfies all those things. But for me, it was like, okay, I can do that while I wait for God's answer. Right? Because sometimes we're looking for an answer and we're asking him for something and we don't always get the answer immediately. And we continue to press in, we continue to intercede. It says, therefore, whatever you want, therefore. So, as you're waiting, as you're asking, as you're seeking, as you're knocking, as you're digging into him and asking him for these things, removing the interference, doing all these things, what can I do in the meantime is I can do unto others what I want them to do unto me. And I find it interesting, I've never noticed that before, that this is where the golden rule comes after our seeking him, after our pouring out to him. He's saying, well, my son, my daughter, I love you. Do this. Do this as I'm answering your prayer. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this entire service today. You've been so good, so faithful to us. You've had this theme, this message that you've run through the whole service, Lord. That you are our breakthrough. that when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, you will answer. We will find. You will open doors. So, Lord, we ask you to show us ways we can remove the interference in our life. What is blocking us from hearing more clearly from you? Lord, show that to us today. Lord, and there were those who walked in here this morning needing answers, needing wisdom, needing help, needing guidance, seeking something. And Lord, as I pray, I'm going to remind you of your word that says when we ask, it will be given to us. When we seek, we will find it. When we knock, the doors will be open. Let's just take a moment to practice this morning. I know it's getting late, but just try to, whatever it is, whatever situation God has burdened or put on your heart today, just seek him. Ask him right now. Ask him if it's need wisdom, ask him for wisdom. If it's healing, ask him for the healing. If you're seeking something, say, Lord, I'm seeking this. Show me. Lord, I'm knocking on this door. Just take a moment to allow him to speak to you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts today, and not just on Sunday while we're at church, Lord, but thank you, Lord, that your wisdom is always crying out. You're always there for a relationship with us. I give you all the honor and the praise and the glory today. In your precious name. Amen. Guys, as we close today, we're going to have some prayer leaders that will be up front. If you've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And I'll tell you what, if you were here for this service, you know that Jesus was here. The Holy Spirit showed up big time and was here. So if you've never made that commitment to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and you feel that tugging on your heart, I would encourage you this morning, come up and get prayer with somebody. Just share that with them and let them pray with you and lead you and guide you in that decision of putting Jesus in your life, first and foremost. The ultimate knocking on the door. When we knock on that door, he opens it. He opens it. So let me read this benediction for us as we close. Out of Jude. Now to him who is able, just receive that this morning. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen and amen. You guys are dismissed. We love you. Come up and get prayer.